Kicking off hour number three of Three and Out here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Need to remind you, sports betting is almost here. We are less than a week away. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app now to claim your $50 in free bets just for signing up. That's right, $50 in free site credit just to register and verify early. Simply download the FanDuel Sportsbook app using the promo code 3OUT. That's the number 3OUT. When you verify your account and betting goes live, you'll receive $50 in site credit. Again, promo code 3OUT. As soon as betting goes live in the state of Tennessee, that $50 will be put into your account. Must be 21 or older and present in the state of Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For gambling problems or support, call 1-800-889-9789. Go back to the G3 Help Me hotlines. Zach has patiently waited through the break. Zach, good morning, sir.
Morning, Houston, Davey, and the other guy.
Alex appreciates that.
Sorry about that.
It happens.
I'm the new guy.
When I hear that song, have you ever heard of seen the movie The Millers? We Are the Millers.
Yeah,
it reminds me of that scene. If you know what I mean.
I know the one. Aniston.
Gotcha. Yep.
Yeah. I know the scene.
Great movie.
Okay. Sorry. Wanted to talk about something positive. Begin my call before I get into it.
Fair enough.
So something exciting.
I hate saying this, and I hate repeating it, but it's so true because I hate saying it every freaking year. But we don't expect to win the game, but we expect to be competitive, right? That's the whole mantra of Tennessee football for the past 15 years. So I'll say that. What I think frustrates people, and I think why everybody's so mad and pissed off, is because you act like you don't even care about winning the football game. Like, as a coach, you're supposed to have a different mentality than the beaten down fan who knows it's not going to happen. Mm. And for us, you know, 14 false start penalties with no noise in the stands, not this game, but all year, I believe, a center, fifth year, who continuously tries to fake out the defense, I guess, and continues to hike the ball early and get us procedure penalties. There's no pressure. There's no coverage of a coach who has a defensive identity. The tackling is piss poor. 76 yards of passing in the first half. And you're expected to win. You know, going in, first of all, you're up against the wall and you're getting blown out at half. So what do you do to change that? You keep running the same insanity. Then you get Maurer to come in. Saban actually starts his backup quarterback. Saban's running his offense, not just handing the ball off over and over again, but they're running their offense. And he gets irate because just almost has a heart attack on the sidelines because somebody's out of position on his third string. He's coaching the whole time. Our guy is handing the ball off. Maurer gets to hand the ball off in the end. Do we have Sal Sansuri number two as head coach?
Oh, God. I pray not.
I know you got a lot of other calls, but, you know, I think I'm definitely out on the guy. I've been on the guy a little while, but I'm out on the guy. But I think I can't stomach the possibility of going through, let's wait till he gets this. I think I've said this before, to install another system, to do all that crap. You know, in a throwaway year where it didn't really matter, Pruitt has made it matter now because he's too stubborn and too stupid to do anything to change it. Y'all take care.
Thanks, Zach. It was frustrating when they brought in Bryce Young and he just started throwing it all over the place, and we brought in Brian Maurer to hand it off.
I was very irritated that they put in their backup before we did. It was like Pruitt was waiting for that sign.
Yeah, like the okay. Saban's now said it's time to play. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Mm. Mm. Jamie is up next on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Jamie, good morning, sir.
What's up, Houston?
Yeah, I know. Just hanging in there, man.
Davey, Alex, how are y'all?
Yeah,
doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Davey, tough loss, brother. I'm a big Steelers fan, but I got to say this: I'm not going to gloat. You guys are for real. You guys are that's something you don't see out of the Titans. They're well coached, got good offense, great running back. Our coach played scared, like somebody else, like another coach I know, putting up three at the second half. You know, going down there at the end of the game, throwing the pick when you have to come away with some points right there to force the Titans to go all the way to the end zone, and we throw a pick. That's Steelers football right there, trying to hand it away. But tough loss, man.
Yeah, it's all right. It was frustrating here, bro. You're good, man. Just a really bad first half by the Titans.
First of all, great call by Rusty earlier. I'd like to echo every single thing. If it wasn't for Fan Run, what the hell would we be doing right now?
Probably on vacation, enjoying yourself. Like, I don't know. It said I feel bad. Like, people tune in for the, as Davey said, like the commiseration. Like, it's brutal. Like, this is where we are. Like, let's just talk to each other about how bad we stink, and it somehow makes us feel better.
It does. I don't know why. It's kind of like, you know, going to a therapy group. But, guys, you know, I think when T. Carp was on earlier, I think the question, it needs to be separated. I mean, are you out on him? Yes. Do you trust us to go out and get a better coach? No. But definitely, I mean, you're out on Pruitt. Who could say that after 2.5 years you feel like he's the guy to compete for championships around here? You can't say it. But as far as, you know, T. Carp was like, well, I don't know who would want to come in here. I remember when there's people out there like Bruce Pearl who just say, I don't care. Walk into that, you know, cavern of TBA and say, I wonder if it's big enough. Mm. You know, that kind of mentality exists. You know, we got to keep in mind, our biggest obstacle here is our administration. You've got guys like Lane Kiffin wanting to come here, would leave Ole Miss today to come here. You know, Mike Leach, y'all heard me talk about him. He struggled. But the thing about it is, nobody knows what would happen with Mike Leach if you put him in a program like Tennessee, you know, where you can actually
we've seen the place recruit itself. Yeah.
Yeah, where you can actually get, you know, you get the best, you get the top quarterbacks wanting to come play for you, and then everything else falls in line like dominoes. Best receivers, best O-line, running backs like to run through wide open lanes because everybody's dropping eight. You know, and, you know, at a place like Tennessee, you're not going to get away without hiring a defensive coordinator. So I just, you know, the whole who would want to come here with the expectations and firing guys, there's guys, you know, not your average Joe coach who's in a comfy position or probably has other places they could go. Hugh Freeze would come here. You know, you've got to jump on him before Auburn does, but he'd come here. He'd win here. Lane would come here, he'd win here. Mike would come here, he'd win here. You know, it's just, I just don't buy into that whole who would want to come here. It's like Davey said, why wouldn't you want to come here? You can come here for 3 years and then go to Alabama and smoke cigars on the sideline for $9 million. Why wouldn't you? Who wouldn't want to do that? I mean, think about how much money Butch Jones is getting paid to go get coffee. No stress.
You know? He's living the dream, man. Like, there is no stress. He's getting the $35K from Bama and then whatever the hell we owed him, $8.26 million. Yeah, to get coffee and, like, run copies.
I didn't see him say a word to anyone.
That's not
while he was out there. He was standing 10 feet away from any player.
Social distancing smart.
Well, I'm sure that after, this will be the third year that he's been there. I'd say after the first two, Nick Saban's like, a lot of Butch is starting to rub off on the program. He's like, don't talk to my players. Just stand over it. Don't get it mixed up. The only reason you're here is to gig Tennessee.
He's there, JG.
And and everybody says that JG's got something. He might have gotten paid. Well, what's going to keep him from spilling the beans after he leaves here?
Mm.
You know, he's not going to be endeared to Tennessee. Everybody hates him. I don't know if y'all talked about this yet, but they rained down boos Saturday.
Did they?
It was not.
Yeah,
pretty.
I can't remember exactly when it was, Alex. You were there, but it was. It might have been after a run at the end of, you know, as the end of the first half was when they decided to run too. I can't remember what it was.
It was even before that when they were announcing the starting lineups. Pretty much everyone was watching the scoreboard with bated breath, and you know they do the little half claps for the Matthew Butler and woo. And then
they booed JG when he was announced.
As soon as JG's name was announced, everyone. And then, well, in this, at least in the student section, everyone was booing.
That's just great.
Well, they boo Pruitt.
Yeah.
Well, it was like a continued boo from Garantano because he was right next.
That's
smart.
Oh, that's funny. Well, like I said, you know, there's guys like that. You know, you go get a guy like a Bruce Pearl or somebody who doesn't care what's happened before. They've got something to prove. They've come up from a small place where they've been elite. You know, where they've been dynamic and they want to prove it on a bigger scale. There's guys like that, Billy Napier out there. But guys, on the way out, let me just say this. If you take emotion out of it, the best thing for this program, I mean, at the very least, Pruitt's trending the wrong direction if he ain't already there. If the decision's not already been made that he can't cut it, which we all know back in our mind, he can't. Every week you've tried him out there, he's more and more like Butch Jones. If you take emotion out of it, the best thing for this program is for him to continue to play JG, not win another game, and get blown out. And that way, at least when you go looking for another coach, you don't have to explain why you're blowing out coaches who went 5-5 in year three. You could say, look, the Cat went 2-8, man. We tried. Surely you can do better than 2-8. You know, we're not going to fire you if you go 500. But we'll, you know, surely you're not going to come in here and take this job and not be expected to be, you know, continue to work here if you're 2-8. That's the only thing that can help our program. If you, like I said, take emotion out of it, y'all agree with me. Appreciate y'all being in there. I'll talk to y'all later. Thanks.
Thanks, Jamie.
It's crazy to me that we made such a big deal about losing 8 games in 2017 for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
In a season with 10 games, we could still lose.
We're not going to lose 8 games. We're not going to go 0-4 down the stretch.
We at least have Vanderbilt left.
I have confidence.
Looking at Billy Napier's page, it's pretty good. I could get into that.
I'm not doing the whole hot. I'm not ready to do that. But he's the top guy on the list. Like he's oh yeah.
You'd have him over Hugh Freeze.
Well, I don't think that's realistic. I don't think Fulmer would ever hire Hugh Freeze. But Billy Napier, sign me up.
I'm kind of with Nate. Nate's been talking about Jamie Chadwell at Coastal.
Maybe.
I mean, he won.
Maybe I like Napier better. I think he's got a better track.
Two big South Conference titles at Charleston Southern, and he's got Coastal Carolina in the top 20. Excuse me.
That's a weird year, though.
5-0.
Maybe they wouldn't normally be there. But no, they're a good team. I mean, I don't know enough about him, but I do like Billy Napier a lot. A lot. He's good. He's probably the top guy on my hot board that doesn't exist yet, but kind of does. I'm like an AD. Like, I have a list in my
pocket.
You just
always need to have
to have a 5-person list. Just, you know, make some phone calls.
The hot board's over there in the corner.
Is Luke Fickell on this imaginary list?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's on it. Mm. He's down a little further. I like Napier. I think Napier with a big shot would probably crush it. Kiffin. But Fulmer would never hire Kiffin. Like, everybody who's saying, oh, Kiffin. Like, Fulmer will never, ever rehire Lane Kiffin, the guy who he got fired to hire. Like, it's just not going to happen.
It'd be so good from a content standpoint, though.
It would be unbelievable.
I wonder what Scott Satterfield would do if offered.
Scott Satterfield?
Yeah.
Well, I know we'd have a good offense. I'd be down for that.
Everybody on my list is an offensive guy at this point.
Yeah.
I think Neil Brown would be a good hire. A lot of people aren't really sold on him.
We just have to will Jeremy Pruitt to turn the reins over to Jim Chaney completely from an offensive play calling and philosophy standpoint, get another quarterback ready, beat Arkansas, and everything's going to be fine. Look, I don't want to overreact too early. They turned it around last year. They've got they got another piece now with Harrison Bailey. They're at least willing to put Maurer in a game this week. Like it's getting better.
That loss to Bama and
oh boy,
just basically how it went off the FBI. Do you know what the FBI has us going for the rest of the year?
1-4.
That's my guess too.
Vanderbilt. What's the percent chance of that game?
83.7. No, 83.4.
What's the Arkansas game now? Because we were going to win that game last week.
We we have a 48.2% chance.
Nah.
That's basically your 50-50.
Nah.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a quick break. We'll jump around. It wasn't a big slate in the SEC, but we'll go over some of the other games. And then we do need to talk Titans, Steelers.
We got to draw punishments, too.
Ah. Well, not next segment. We'll do that segment after. Yeah. So who all, you, Davey, me, Nate, and then, yeah, Will and Alex won.
Yeah.
My right eye keeps watering. I can't get it to stop. It's been a rough morning.
Oh, man.
We're battling.
Hudson,
here.
Battling. Back after this on 3 and Out. Welcome back to the White Claw Studios of Fan Run Radio.
This is in honor of Jennifer Aniston.
Mm.
Oh, I thought you were playing it in honor of the last time we beat Bama because this was the number one hit.
Well, I mean, it's a good song.
In the United States
it was
at the
probably
time.
Number one for a while.
Classic.
Davey, you drew South Carolina.
Yep.
I actually thought they had a chance earlier. They looked pretty good, and then then not so much. The Finley kid for LSU, true freshman, right?
Yep.
True freshman.
Hmm. Imagine that.
Ended up going 17 of 21, 265, two touchdowns. Did throw a pick. Colin Hill was my passing leader. He wasn't even the passing leader in the game, as LSU beat South Carolina 52-24. LSU looks like they might be starting to figure the defense out a little bit. And I don't know if the Finley kid's the answer once Miles Brennan gets back, but they have a very capable backup on the Bayou. Missouri, this one to me probably made Tennessee fans furious. You beat Missouri handedly. Like, you took care of business, and then they welcome Kentucky the week after Kentucky strokes you. They hold Kentucky to 10 points. Missouri wins 20-10.
That Finley kid was a 3-star.
Yeah. Yeah.
6'6", 250.
Mm-hmm. He's a monster. I mean, he's like Jamarcus Russell 2.0. Like, he's a big dude.
At some point late in the game, I think Kentucky only had 9 passing yards. I don't remember exactly when it was. It was during the Tennessee
game.
Well,
yeah, they didn't have I think they only threw it like 4 times, and then Wilson hit somebody on a pretty long touchdown to make it close. But yeah, Terry Wilson on the day, 3 of 9, 35 yards, a touchdown. Not good. Not good, Bob. Auburn beat Ole Miss 35-28. But apparently there was another weird call in that game on a kick. Ole Miss kicked off, and it appeared to touch the Auburn returner. And they just ruled it dead once it bounced into the end zone.
Yeah.
Just called it a touchback, ruled it dead. That's unfortunate.
It was very clear. If you watch the replay in slow motion, you see his pinky get bent back by the ball.
Yeah. That's bad.
So Auburn is now...
They've gotten 2 wins because of bad officiating.
Auburn is 3-2 and absolutely should be
1-4. Yep.
Is that a winnable game?
It's winnable, yeah. Just because they can't score points.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia beat them. They scored, what, 6 against Georgia?
Yeah, I feel like Bo Nix and JG have a lot in common. Like, kind of good sometimes and then have the blow-up games where they're just not very good at all.
I almost asked that last week. Like, would you rather have Bo Nix or JG?
Bo Nix.
Bo Nix is at least, what is he, a sophomore? Like, yeah. I'd take that.
Yeah.
I'd take him making these mistakes as a sophomore, a true sophomore, over a fifth-year senior. I'd absolutely roll the dice with Bo Nix for 2 more years before I would take Jerry Garantano, without question. That actually was the entire SEC slate outside of Tennessee-Alabama. Has Florida resumed football activity? Are they going to play Georgia this weekend? Has that been decided yet?
I haven't heard anything, man.
Haven't either. Just curious. Just kind of a ho-hum week in the SEC. SEC wisely scheduling a lot of buys around the startup of the Big Ten.
Their 2-week program pause is set to end today.
Assuming no new positive cases?
Assuming, yeah.
Okay. Well, Davey, let's go ahead and talk about it.
Okay.
I'll be honest. The way Pittsburgh jumped out on the Titans over the weekend, I thought maybe the Titans were pretenders and that Pittsburgh was just really good. Titans battle back.
I am not as upset as I thought I would be given a loss. I mean, I'm frustrated with the first half performance Titans were dominated in all forms of the game. I think, like, it was, oh man, I think you had the ball for like a minute and a half, like 20 minutes into the game, it seemed like. I mean, Pittsburgh had two.
Their first drive was, what, 9 minutes and 18 seconds?
Yeah.
There was a possession stat where Pittsburgh had 16 minutes of possession and Tennessee had a minute and 22 seconds or something.
It was really bad to start off. And the thing that had been plaguing the Titans all year, which was third downs on defense and just being able to get the team off the field, they were incredibly bad at it once again. I think for the game, the Steelers were 13 of 18 on third down conversions, which you're not going to win many games doing that, and the Titans still came up a field goal short where, I mean, Gostkowski, he can hit anything outside of 50, but he's not missed a kick from 50 this
50
year.
Plus.
50
yeah.
plus, yeah. But whenever, I think they flashed the statistic, whenever you're looking at field goals anywhere, I think it's less than 49 yards and a minimum of 10 attempts, he has the worst field goal percentage of any kicker in the league right now. And I mean,
so they should have taken a penalty or two to back him up, and then
he would have been better off if they had made it a longer kick.
He didn't miss it by much. No, it just started to fade a little bit. I mean, did you watch it? Like, it starts out perfectly straight and then just started to drift. Was there any wind?
It didn't look like wind was the factor.
It was just weird, kind of a slice on it almost.
It's frustrating, but I mean, the Titans have shown that they're able to battle back. They were in a situation where the only game Ryan Tannehill has not led a game-winning or a game-tying drive this year was against Buffalo, where they blew them out. And I mean, he put them in a position to at least send it to overtime, and I would have loved to have seen what had happened. The defense came out and was playing better in the second half. I mean, you held Pittsburgh to 3 points in the second half, and they got that in the third off their first drive.
Had three interceptions? I'm with you. I'm upset that they lost, but the way the game started versus the way it ended, I don't think there's a lot of separation between these two teams. And I don't, again, when the game started and Pittsburgh was kind of going up and down the field, making it look easy, I thought, okay, yeah, they've just lost too much. Defense isn't very good. Losing LaJuan, I get it. Like, that's going to be a big setback. I still think the Titans,
they're really, really good.
Like, they're legit. I mean, Jamie, big Pittsburgh fan. I mean, I don't know how anybody across the league, because there have been a lot of Titans haters so far this season. Oh, their schedule isn't this, and well, they're getting lucky with the. I think the Titans are pretty damn good. Like, I'm not concerned about the Titans moving forward.
Pretty much immediately after the game, you saw some national media guys talking about Pittsburgh being the best team in the NFL, and I can see that. I mean, they're the only undefeated team left, but they were basically immediately discounting the Titans as being like, oh, well, they are who we thought they were. It's like, did you see that comeback? Did you see how close? I mean, that game was almost in overtime.
I don't know how anyone could watch that game and not think that the Titans are legit.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they lost at home. They were put in a really big hole, self-inflicted early. But this is a team there's not a team in the league that if I'm a fan of them and we're playing the Titans, I'm thinking, oh, the Titans, whatever. Like, that was a great football game. Titans are a chip shot. I mean, all you had to do was kick it straight, and it's good. You're going overtime with a lot of momentum at that point. Like Davey said, you'd held them to 3 points in the second half, turned Big Ben over three times. I think you got a couple sacks. Like, Titans, they're going to be just fine. Frustrating game. You hate to lose it, but in a weird way, that game makes me feel better about the Titans in a loss than a lot of the wins made me feel.
Yeah.
Because they didn't quit. They battled back. They did everything they were supposed to do. Chip shot field goal goes in, and you're good. You're set.
On top of that, I mean, it's not ideal, but at this point, you feel good moving forward. I mean, you got Cincinnati this coming weekend, and Christian Fulton, cornerback, rookie out of LSU, he is set to undergo an MRI. I don't know the extent or the seriousness of his knee injury, but hopefully Adoree Jackson comes back. I think you need to go out and you need to make a trade for another corner. They've really struggled at that point. And you saw whenever Ty Smith had to be in, he got roasted several times by Pittsburgh. And I know Pittsburgh's got some really good receivers, but you still need more.
They did a good
there.
Job on Claypool. They held him in check.
He had negative yards, didn't he, until like the second to last play of the game?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I am a little bit worried about the Bengals just because secondary has been a problem and Joe Burrow is really good. Did you see what Burrow did to the Browns over the weekend?
Yeah. I mean, like, it'll probably be a close game, but the Bengals just seem to really struggle to get over the hump every
time.
No,
I agree.
I mean, I think they're, what, 1-5-1 or something like that?
Yeah, correct.
So,
1-2 at home. But Burrow against the Browns, 35 of 47, 406, three touchdowns, one pick. Like, the guy's going to be a stud. He's doing this with basically no offensive line.
I'm really interested to see how the Titans play against Burrow. But at the same time, if you are the Titans offense, you should be able to eat against the Bengals defense.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it'll be a high-scoring game, but the Titans should have enough firepower to pull away late, I would hope. But that's an exciting game. I'm actually looking forward to that one. Again, tough loss for the Titans, but I am probably more in on them now than I was before as far as being a Super Bowl contender. Because what was your stat? This is the latest two undefeated teams had met, and the winner had always gone on to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, the stat was anytime after week 7, two undefeated teams had met, the winner of that game ended up going to the Super Bowl that year. It'll be interesting. You're starting to see, like, the NFC, like, I don't feel confident about many teams there. That, man, the Seahawks cost me a couple $100 last night. I didn't lose it. It was just off a parlay. If they cover three, or hell, if they even tied, I had a teaser that would have hit, but...
That was a great game, too.
They blew a 10-point lead with, like, 5 minutes to go, which is just infuriating on all levels. So, I don't know. It was a good week of games, especially that first hour. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of stuff go down to the wire. But, I don't know. Titans, they'll be moving forward. I feel fine with them. So, we'll see what happens.
Who was Nate's NFL Eliminator pick? He took the Chargers, right?
Yeah, they won.
They did win.
They beat Jacksonville.
And I took... Do you remember who I took?
The Bills. They beat the Jets.
I did the Jets rule.
I knew one of y'all picked against
it was
the
not,
Jets.
It was a pretty tight game, though. 18-10, not good.
Did the Bills win it on only field goals?
Is that right?
I thought I saw somewhere they just kicked 6 field goals.
It looks that way. I'll
tell you real quick. Maybe not.
I got it right here. No way. Is that true? Yep. 6 of 8. I got 8 shots.
Could have been 24.
That's impressive. All right, are we doing this when we come back?
Yep.
Are you drawing for Nate?
I can do that. That's fine.
Is that what we want to do? Have Alex draw for Nate on SEC Survivor?
Jets were up 10-0, and that guy hit 6 straight field goals. Tyler Bass.
Tyler Bass. I like that guy. It's a good name. All right, we'll do our punishment draw after this. Quick timeout. Of a day of the week. SEC Survivor Punishment Draw. I had no say-so in the matter. Automatic death. Davies Gamecocks went down in flaming glory against the Bayou Bengals. And Nate drove, he got the wee pick, and
yeah,
we gave him the Vols.
Yep.
Hoping for the best, expecting the worst. Getting the worst. Alex survives by drawing Alabama. Squeaky Will survives by drawing Missouri.
I think I told you how much I believed the Vols would get beat, so much so that I put $100 on Alabama money line just to win $5.
I guess that's good. I mean,
no, it's not.
Tried to buy the win, at least.
It's not good. It's not good at all.
That's lunch.
That's a money line, though. But you had them.
Well,
you had three bets to cover, right?
Three separate bets for Bama to cover, and that was easy money as well.
Gotcha. Okay, so Alex is going to draw for Nate. Do we know the order of the draw?
I don't think it matters.
Okay, we'll just go. Will you run that box up to Alex? We'll just go ahead and get this thing started. Get it out of the way. This is brutal. Nate, of course, got Tennessee via the wee pick for Nate. Alex's hand is in the box.
Hand is in the box.
Awaiting punishment.
And I am drawing the Eagles.
I think I had the Eagles. Let me double check real fast.
That sounds familiar.
No. Eagles. 2 cans of cold tomato soup for Nate. He will do that when he returns next week. And he may have 2 punishments back to back because he's playing this week. We're drawing for him on Friday. So he may go double punishment next Wednesday. That one's not so bad. 2 cans cold tomato soup.
I had to do that 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
How was it?
No, I don't remember that.
It was not good.
Yeah.
So.
I'll get those for him, put them in the fridge, make sure it's nice and nice and chilled.
Just drink it straight out of the can, you know?
All right, you up?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Falcons.
Hudson and box, and he gets the Tennessee Titans. Let's see here.
Sure, that's a spray tan unless you changed it.
How fitting.
Oh, it is the spray tan. Round two of the spray tan for you, right?
Yep.
Look at you.
Well, at least I get a chance to hit on that girl again.
So. Yeah. You got to hold the box for me, bud.
That's right.
Yep. So, actually, those two aren't bad at all. Congrats to you.
Could be worse.
What did you get? Double dark, right?
Yeah. I still want to pay for it. Maybe they can. The
Carolina Panthers.
They've been drawn.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they have. That's smoothie roulette.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, man, I couldn't have done it.
Not the Falcons. Ooh, the Green Bay Packers. They've been drawn.
Yes, but that one's still in there.
Is that more shot collar?
No,
that's the packy chip.
That's the hot chip challenge. Ooh. That's the only one I didn't want. That's the only one I didn't want.
You can veto.
No, because chest wax is in there, and I'm not doing that. So I get to eat the damn chip.
How does veto work? If you veto, you have to take Nate's. Oh, no,
no,
no, no.
If I veto, I've used it for the year.
Yep, and you just redraw.
And I redraw.
Okay.
But that means that chest wax is still in there, and I can't risk that. So now I get to be miserable all day Wednesday eating that chip.
That's my birthday. Happy birthday to me. I get to watch that.
That's good. I'm glad. That's great.
Be a fun day.
This was the worst SEC Survivor Week of all time. Automatic death. Tennessee gets hammered. Titans lose. And then the one helmet I didn't want to draw, I got it.
Yep.
What have I done to the universe? What curse has been placed upon me? Who do I blame for this? You keeping the ledger over there?
Yep. That's neat. I had to update it.
I guess you got to blame whoever in your family raised you to be a Tennessee fan.
All of them. Both sides. Oh, just go ahead and hit the break. I'm too angry to continue to talk about anything. We'll come up with some topic, I guess, maybe. I may just end the show. I may just let Davey carry us out for the last 15 minutes.
Okay. Here we go.
Final segment of the show, Three and Out, wrapping up on Fan Run Radio in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. I'm glad we got the sadness and the negativity out today, because tomorrow is Optimism Tuesday, where we turn the page for at least 3 hours and look for the positives, of which there are a few, but we will find them, because that's what we do here on Tuesdays.
I can give you one positive.
Basketball season?
We don't have to play anyone this Saturday.
Not going to lose Saturday. Great point by Alex. Great point. We got that going for us. Speaking of jump around, you see what Wisconsin did to Illinois? Sheesh.
Oh, by the way.
Is that a true freshman quarterback for Wisconsin?
Redshirt.
Redshirt freshman. Yeah. 45-7.
I believe Graham Mertz, true freshman quarterback for Wisconsin, has tested positive for COVID-19.
He's a redshirt freshman, but that
really?
Yeah. Yes.
So I saw that means he's out for the next two games, right? 14 days?
21 days in the Big Ten.
Oh, it's 21. Mm. Jesus, stuff. Knew that would never work, but
let me confirm that. I saw something. Hold on. Keep talking.
Deal. Ohio State did what we all thought they would do to Nebraska. They won 52-17.
Wait, doesn't Wisconsin play Ohio State?
Yeah, I think
this week.
Yeah, I think so.
No,
that's brutal, man.
He didn't test positive. That's just the Big Ten making sure they're like, oh my gosh, this guy's pretty good.
He looks pretty good.
We gotta have Ohio State win it all.
Definitely a positive.
Kevin Warren rigging it. Sad.
Yep. 4 hours ago, confirmed that he tested positive.
Yikes. That's brutal. I don't know if you guys watched this. I thought it was the game of the weekend. Did you see what Michael Penix Jr. did in overtime
Indiana.
To beat Penn State? Indiana with their first top 10 win in program history, and it was close. It was very close. In fact, if they had not ruled it good on the field, I don't think they would have overturned it. Penn State scores in overtime to go up 35-28. Indiana scores and decides to go for two. Michael Penix Jr. around left tackle, stretching to the sidelines, and I realize the ball may have hit the ground before breaking the plane, but the dive itself to not have a shin or a knee hit while fully extended, unbelievable play.
Ohio State doesn't actually play Wisconsin in the regular season this year.
Really?
Yeah. So they got Penn State next, then Rutgers. 1-0 Rutgers.
Yeah, they beat Michigan State, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know who Michigan State's new head coach is.
I don't either. Probably not important. Michigan ended up blowing the doors off of Minnesota after a pretty close game to start. It was 49-24. Michigan might be, they might be halfway decent.
Oh, Mel Tucker.
That's right.
Do we want to talk about Rutgers?
Eh.
They beat a bad Michigan State team. They're like better than
Wasn't
they
Mel
are,
Tucker second on our board behind Pruitt
yeah,
when Fulmer took
Jeremy
over?
Jeremy Pruitt, Mel Tucker, then Kevin Steele.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like it's a mess of a situation. I mean, what Fulmer inherited, like I don't know that we were gonna get just some baller head coach, but it does kind of stink that your options were Jeremy Pruitt and now the guy who just lost to Greg Schiano, who also in his first year at Rutgers. Like, that was a battle of first-year head coaches. That's not good.
Indiana plays Rutgers this weekend.
Really?
Yep.
Where's that game?
New Jersey.
Eesh. Okay. My Cowboys did end up beating Iowa State 24-21.
That's a push.
I'll take it. It's not a loss. What was our do you have our records from the weekend?
You don't want to hear them.
Were they bad?
I think you went 2-2-1.
I think I did go 2-2-1.
I think Nate and I both went 1-3-1.
Because somehow I picked South Carolina like an idiot. But I did pick Missouri. Thank you to Connor Bazelak. Just doing what you do, man. You be you. You be you.
The fact that Kentucky got beat by double digits doesn't make me feel better, knowing that they came in here and destroyed us.
No, I said, like, not only the Alabama game, but the Kentucky game the week before, and then watching Missouri really dominate Kentucky defensively. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was Tennessee's offense that put up points for Kentucky, but like that's all you had to do to beat Kentucky was not make the critical mistakes, play defense. They're not going to throw the ball on you, so you know, try to stop the run as best you can, don't give them points, and you're walking out of there with a win. Instead, Tennessee just completely wets the bed, then they get blasted by Alabama, and now that's why this week is going to be what it is, and probably the same for next week. People are going to be frustrated. There was a rumor that Jeremy Pruitt took over play calling duties defensively in the second half. Has that been confirmed?
I haven't been able to find anything on it.
So he's fired the defensive line coach, and now he's told Derek Ansley to step off, and he's going to handle play calling duties?
That's what I saw.
It's Alabama, man. Like, you're not going to stop them. You're not going to hang with him. You couldn't get any pressure on Mac Jones.
Man, I'm watching these Michael Penix Jr. highlights.
Former Vol commit, Michael Penix Jr.
Told him to look elsewhere.
Yeah. We had our guy. We were already locked up at the quarterback position. We had Jarrett Garantano.
We also told Adrian Martinez to look elsewhere.
And he did. And he went and played for Scott Frost, and they're still not good either. Like, I've said for a long time that Tennessee is not Nebraska, because geography-wise, and I think the recruiting rankings kind of show that, like, Tennessee's in a geographic footprint where they can still get really good athletes. Are we Nebraska? Are we just not going to be able to get back ever? Because, I mean, Scott Frost was a slam dunk, grand slam, perfect hire with what he did at UCF. Like, the guy can obviously coach football, and he's in year three as well, right?
This is year two.
Is this just year two for him? And you're getting blasted 52-17? I know it's Ohio State. Like, I totally get it.
I think it's year two. I'll double check. Either way,
I figured they'd be a little further along.
I look at it, and it's one of those things to where you mentioned recruiting. You're going to be able to get some of the guys out of Alabama, Florida, Georgia, what have you. But you don't have anything to separate yourselves from those teams down there that you constantly have to play. And with the landscape of just you can watch pretty much any game, like the Nebraska and Tennessee, like we're not the only ones on like nationally televised slots each week. So the kids now, they don't know Tennessee being good.
Sure.
They've never seen Tennessee at any sort of elite level. And I just don't – like, and if paying kids is the same across the board, like why would you come to Tennessee over Alabama or Georgia if they're going to be paying you the same amount of money, you know?
Yeah, all things being equal right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
– not – I mean, Tennessee, a lot of work to do. Like, clearly, still, a lot of work to do. I do think it's – it's amazing what a good quarterback can do for a program, and I'm very hopeful that Tennessee can find that quarterback either on their roster or maybe it's Caden Salter.
This is year three for Frost.
It is year three? Yeah. Didn't he have Martinez get hurt at the beginning of last year, so I'll give him kind of a pass for that, but still.
Yeah.
Thought you could hang with Ohio State for at least a little bit. I'm not saying, again, I've said this for 2 weeks now, I don't think Tennessee is a quarterback away from winning championships. I think they're a quarterback away from being a much better offensive football team. You've still got deficiencies on the defensive line.
Well, we saw with under Butch Jones, we had a better quarterback. And I mean,
how many sins did he cover up? Like Joshua Dobbs out there running around making plays, covered up a multitude of coaching just
and the rest of the team
stupidity.
Just wasn't up to snuff either,
right?
When coaching, you know,
right? But then you could win games, you know, 52-35.
It was the next step.
Yeah, that's all it takes, man. And that's one of the reasons I'm not out. Like, I think the defense has gotten better. It doesn't obviously show against a team like Alabama. They're really, really good. You got to find a quarterback. Not the safe bet at quarterback. You've got to find a guy for the future. And if you think Harrison Bailey has any shot at all, you better start playing him now. Grow him, build him. Because you got 4 years after this one, assuming he doesn't leave early. It's a free year. You're not wasting any redshirt or anything like that. You got to move forward. Turn the page. Optimism Tuesday tomorrow. I'm excited about it. Dave, any final thoughts on Alabama?
Turn the page. I wish I had something, but no.
It's okay. You did your best. Keep it locked in here. Fan Run Radio. The Blitz is next. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place.